It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, and away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you here on this Saturday. Captain Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
And lots to talk about in the fishing fronts today, and we're going to take you everywhere. We're going to go.
It's hot.
Yeah, it is hot, and the fishing's pretty darn good, too. So we'll go offshore. We'll talk some offshore fishing today. Also inshore, and we'll start off talking some bass fishing.
Real inshore.
So, you know, it's funny. Why don't we call that? Because it's offshore, inshore, and it should be, instead of freshwater fishing, it should be really inshore.
Maybe marsh.
Inside inshore. That's when we check in with Captain Wayne Miller. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Doing good. I know you're reporting your fishing right now. You're very inside inshore, way inshore report.
Yeah, you know, it's the fishing's really picked up, you know, this week. I mean, we had that slug of high water, and, you know, things are cleaning up. The main livers are still pretty stained up, but man, you know, the fish have been biting. Really, the biggest challenge this week has just been the heat, man. I mean, you know, I was listening to you earlier in the week, Sean. You were talking about, you know, it's not even summer yet. I'm like, where are you, dude?
Well, on the calendar, it wasn't. Now, as of Thursday morning at 5:07, it's now officially it can get hot.
You must be getting old, because I have never known you to complain about how cold it is. You're going when it's 20 degrees fishing, ooh, and man, when it's 110. I've never heard you complain about this.
Well, I tell you what, the cold's a lot easier to deal with.
Yep.
It's just, I think you're right, Mike. I may be getting a little older, because, man, this heat, it's pretty tough.
One
of the challenges is, man, the top water bite's been really good this past week with buzz baits, and I've been throwing a little buzz bait that made by Lott Lures, Keith Lott, a local.
Yeah. Hey, which one are you throwing?
Because
I want to talk about Lott Lures, because I've got several of his buzz baits. They look so good. So I got to pick your brain now, because I know what's in your box from Lott Lures. Which one are you throwing? You got to divulge.
I've been throwing that little the double buzz that's got the frog. You can put like a rivet.
Yep.
On the end of it, and I've been throwing that quite a bit. And, you know, just changing the color up, I've really been doing pretty good with just a black and blue rivet on there. But, man, it's just, you know, it's a tremendous bait, because the double buzz on the front, you know, makes a lot of noise. And then you've got, you know, the legs on the rivet in the back making noise. And it's a bait that you can really slow down, and that's probably what I like about it more than anything else, man. It's making a lot of commotion, but it's not moving super fast.
Lord knows we're talking to two men between your time of selling lures, both of y'all. That's something to be said for a quality-made lure, because there's some of the lighter metals and stuff you use. To get that noise you're talking about, Captain Wayne, you gotta burn that thing, and sometimes it's too fast to get a strike.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you know, and it's, you know, you've always, you know, for years, I know Mike will appreciate this, you know, we've had guys, you know, you tune buzz baits, you know, you'll do everything, you know, hang them out the window when you're going down the road.
Yeah,
you know,
get them limbered up.
Bend the wires on them, you know, do all kind of things. But, you know, I know Keith is making some baits now that just right out of the pack, man. They are just fantastic lures. I really have a lot of success with them. And, you know, it's great because he's a local guy and sold in all the local tackle shops around Mobile. So, but, you know, that particular bait, the one that I just described, I really like it because you can change up the color. You know, I mean, you know, and you can go with different size, you know, frogs or worms. I mean, you're not limited to just hooking a frog on the end of that thing. I mean, you know, you're really, it's, you know, endless as far as, you know, what all you could put on it. But, you know, I typically use a rivet is what I like.
I tell you what he makes too that I really like. I like his spinnerbaits. Like his spinnerbaits. They are fine spinnerbaits.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's.
And you and where can you buy those locally? I know several stores have them, but I know Quince have them, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who else has them around? Do you know?
I know Billy Peru carries them in Saraland, and I'll have to chat with Keith so that you know we can get the word out on them. I know Quince carries them, so.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're in some of the, you know, local tackle shops, tackle this, shoot that. I know they carry some, so it's
good.
You know, they're spread out around, but
yeah, and it's
but, you know, mean, something it, I was going to mention. You know, this week, you know, the water's cleaned up quite a bit in the back of some of the creeks, and anywhere you've got some grass. You know, not only the buzzbait bite, but I've caught a few on frogs, but I've talked to some other people that are doing pretty good fishing, you know, the spro type frogs, just
right.
Really slowing those down, working them around the grass and wherever you have pads, fishing them, you know, and then on up in the day though, man, it's just, it's really kind of been a grind with the, soft plastic. I've been catching a few fish on crankbaits, but, primarily, once that topwater bite's over with, it's been a soft plastic deal.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to just say, what is the river stage right now? I know it's been really high. Where are we at now on the river stage?
Well, the Mobile's down about 4 feet now, and, you know, the Alabama and the Tom, you know, the fluctuations on them have just been crazy over the last 2 weeks. You know, I hadn't even gone up on the, you know, into what we typically call the upper delta, you know, up the rivers up there because it's just been, you know, the water jumped so fast and then it fell out so fast. And that, you know, just when it does that, it muddies up. And even if you've got a decent level, the water clarity is just horrible.
It's a very unusual year. Usually by June 1st, the water's usually down and, you know, everybody's fishing up the rivers, everything's good, and here we are July, basically, almost, and it's still high and muddy.
Yeah, well, you know, it was crazy because, you know, we had a stretch there for a month. We didn't have any rain,
mm-hmm.
And then when we got it, boy, we got it with a vengeance.
And didn't get it just down here. They got a lot up north. That's
yeah.
And they've been getting hammered up there.
Yeah, but now I have been hearing some reports from up at the ferry and even, you know, up the river on the upper delta here that things are cleaning up and they're starting to catch them up there too. It's I just hadn't been up there. I've primarily been staying with the middle delta.
I want to run through a couple things here. First of all, back to lot lures for a second. We talked about buzz bait. We talked about the spinner bait, but the inline spinners, that's what I got quite
like
a few
the
of.
Them.
Yes. And those babies, if you're a causeway fisherman, I mean, it is your go-to. And you got the go-to colors that make the fish bite on the delta. So I do love his inline spinners. All right. Second of all, you mentioned topwater fishing. So I got it. You mentioned the spro frog. And you mentioned the topwater bite being early. I'm going to offer this. Now, I was fishing, not public, private waters over last weekend. And you do get another topwater bite in the middle of the day when you catch a thunderstorm. You know, that was seriously our experience. So the thunderstorm comes through.
Yeah.
We hit out. It stops. And the clouds linger, you know, for 30 minutes or 45 minutes. I had an incredible topwater bite right after a thunderstorm passed through. Wayne, I mean, do you see the same things?
Oh yeah, you know, I mean that's not uncommon, and you know, one thing, even if you don't have any thunderstorms, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's kind of early for that. But if you're running the main rivers right now, always pay attention to those points on the main rivers because a lot of times you'll see fish schooling this early.
Wow,
and you know, you can pull up and throw top water in the middle of the day, even when it's smoking hot, and catch them.
Right, because then they're in an eating mood then. But, yeah, it was just interesting because it was, by the time I got to where I was going, up at the farm, it was 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, high sun. But here comes a storm, blows through, and you know it doesn't have to. I say thunderstorm, yeah. It should rain.
Right.
You know, rain can come through, and it rains a half inch, whatever it does. Like you said, Mike, it cools the air temp, and then you got fresh water running in, but you all of a sudden drop that light back. Like, you know, you get those low clouds, and Now you've dropped that light back like you're at 7 o'clock in the morning or 6:30, and they ate the rod tips off for about an hour. You wouldn't think it was, you know, hot sun, summertime fishing. It was, I'm talking about fish waiting for the frog to hit the water top. As soon as it hit the water, the fish was eating.
Yeah.
You know,
man, that's fun when it's like that.
It's incredible because I think it's the combination of, like you say, you have the diminished sunlight, I mean, and you get that cloud cover, but also the barometric pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got that change in pressure. And, man, anything like that can just trigger really a phenomenal bite. You just, you got to be willing to, you know, pick up something that you normally wouldn't throw that time of day and give it a try.
Right. That's the thing. All I'm saying is that we get some days with the weather, you know, you got the bright, bright sunshine, and all of a sudden clouds come in. Maybe it's not raining. You know, if it's raining where you are, that's not good. But if cloud cover comes in and cools things down, you may want to just give topwater a chance in the middle of the day if you got those light conditions, because it sure paid off for us. All right, I want to talk about what you're seeing grass-wise down on the causeway, too, because that's always, you know, you mentioned no real rain there for a while, and then all of a sudden we got the rain. That, you know, that salinity level is often what defines how much grass we're going to have to fish in the fall. What
we
do you see?
We ought to have a lot.
Yeah, man, I tell you, we've got tons of grass on the south end. It's
good.
You know, we've seen it really increase over the last couple of years, and you know, and I think the good fishing that we've seen is a direct result from that grass. You know, I mean, any of the anglers you talk to over the years, I mean, we've always seen a correlation between the amount of grass that we have in the bays and the creeks and lakes, and the quality of the fishing.
That is for sure. Captain Wayne, somebody wants to get a trip booked with you for right now or this fall. Let's talk about getting that trip booked. How do they do it?
They can reach me at 251-455-7404.
Great stuff, Captain Wayne Miller. We sure appreciate it. Checking in from the really inshore, the super inshore, the inward inshore report here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. All right, so we'll then go from the very inshore. We come back, we'll take it offshore, like blue water offshore, like Mike Lesby, the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club joins us next. We'll talk about marlin fishing, tuna fishing, how that's been, and also later on in the show, Captain Charlie Gray joins us, some inshore fishing, you know, chasing trout and some reds, red snapper around last weekend, so chase them all day if you can. Well, of course you have.
Oh, yeah.
Chased them around the frying pan, right? Coming right back. All right, time for the FM Talk 106.5 Offshore Fishing Report. Brought to you by our friends at HMS Marine Electronics for all your fishing technology by major brands like Garmin. You'll be supporting a local online retailer that offers all the price savings and perks of the big box stores and more, in the industry since 2004, in the business since 2013. Garmin and NEMA certified. Visit HMSMarineElectronics.com or on Facebook, HMS Marine Electronics, featuring Garmin Ultra High Definition Scanning Sonar with stunningly clear images, side view, and clear view clarity means the fish have nowhere to hide. Spring on our buddy Blake Michaleski of the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club, and let's talk about some of that offshore fishing. Hey, Blake.
Hey, how's it going, Sean?
It's good. Let's, you know, I have to say that condition-wise, last weekend, pretty good, probably the second best yet of snapper season. Did you get out? You get to do any snapper?
Oh, of course not. I had stuff to do at our house. I went to Louisiana, actually, and did a little bass fishing. So,
how'd you do?
So. I did some of that live baiting because we're out and that's kind of pressured, so it's always fun to get a bite.
There you go. Let's talk about back here and the offshore. What reports were coming in from last weekend?
It came really and from what I've been talking to some of the charter boats, the tuna fishing has been pretty slow. In fact, some of the more guys that know what they're doing are having 1 and 2 fish trips. But a lot of that's around the moon phase, and as it, you come in and out of cycles. And so, just in the last day or two, we've been seeing a few more getting caught. When they start referring to them as unicorns, you know the bite's been tough. So they said they found a few, but some big tunas out of Venice, in that 150, 160 pound range, some really nice ones by some of the charter boats down there. And of course, we had the week before we had the Mississippi tournament. This past weekend was an off weekend on the big series, and I'm sitting in Destin, Florida right now with waiting on the Emerald Coast one to start up. So we'll have some good reports for next week for sure on the billfish side.
Yeah, let's talk about billfish here and getting out for those of us in the outboard boats and the monkey boats out there. And we got it. We've talked live baiting and how live baiting's changed the way blue water offshore fishing's done around here. But the good old days of dragging lures, man, putting some plastic out the back. What do we need to know about that?
Yeah, Sean, it used to be the only way people really billfished around here. Then when you start building oil rigs and realizing these fish just post up, and it's a lot easier to target the one with a live bait once you've been seeing. But say you're fishing off to the east around from, say, the nipple down towards the elbow and the steps area, there are no fab, there are no oil rigs. You've got open water, and you're fishing kind of following bottom contours in that near the ledge right there, 600 feet of water, so is a good contour to kind of stick with. But we've always heard, well, big diesel boats raise billfish. Well, so do outboard boats. It can be argued up and down till people are red in the face about which one does it better, but it can be done on the monkey boat. And I think part of it is, it's, if you think about like selling something, you got to get someone's attention. So you have to get this fish's attention. So that's why we put out a spread of lures versus, say, just one, and you're offering them a selection. But there's some ways about it. It's not just grabbing five, thinking, oh, these look good, and putting them back. Going into, you're trying to create an illusion of what's going on back there. And on these big boats, you see these big dredge teasers, or like a big umbrella rig, or some people may be familiar with the Alabama rig in the bass fishing world. It's to mimic a ball of bait and a school of bait. And oftentimes they'll rig it where there's one or two kind of trailing back behind it, and he's easy pickings, or your flatline lures back there. But my small boat kind of go-to setup, like two big lures off the corners, and they're going to act more as teasers. They're going to create a lot of commotion. And then back, I go to smaller lures the further I go back, and typically less action. Like, I want my furthest back lure to be a bullet. Something that's just very lazy, cruising along, easy pickings.
Okay, so that is painting that picture you talked about. So the here comes the marlin. It comes up. It sees all this activity. Here's bait on the surface. Those making noise closer to the boat, those are less preferable. They got the attention, but, oh, look at this straggler back here.
Right, and sometimes, we'll run lures that are, and you need to match it to your main line size. So say if you're just running a set of 50s, which is pretty big tackle for a small boat, for an outboard boat. So say you have a pair of 50s off your corners, and even though you may have 80-pound line on it, which is very common now, especially with the braid backing, so you can go 80-pound top shot. So you can run your drag up 10, 12 pounds or so on strike. And so that's enough to hub that hook up, but on these short ones, we're typically running a bigger hook. So you got to kind of match your hook to your drag that you can apply and this and that. So you may have some bigger lures with lighter hooks, heavier hooks. There's a lot of little details in this, but the big thing is to create that illusion, get that, that paint that picture of there's something feeding behind the boat. And I tell people, do not be afraid to put something really big out there, even without a hook, just towing it off a rope, like a bowling pin chain or surface squid chain teaser, which are popular on your big boats.
Okay, so, and you're naming a bunch of things as people are getting into this, and so many more people getting into offshore fishing here along the Gulf Coast. People are going, okay, I got to take notes here, and I got to get to this and to that. I mean, this is kind of daunting for folks to walk in and start building that tackle box.
It can be very, and I've been fortunate to have good relationships with vendors, and I've gotten little flaws and blemished models that they're like, hey, go pull this and let me know what it does. So you get to learn, and during my time in the tackle shop, I got to see what was beat up and chewed up and needed to be re-rigged and re-skirted. So, yeah, that too. So when got people are getting into it, that's why a lot of them do just opt for a live bait strategy only, because it's very straightforward, very simple. But if you're fishing open water and you need to cover water, sitting there bumping around with a live bait and covering water, you know, unless you found a fish. So the you got to put some out there, but I tell people to keep it simple. Don't put any more out than you and your crew can handle. And if one of them goes off and you get a bite on one, everyone kind of needs to know what to do as far as clearing lines, or say, if the flat, or if the rigger lure gets hit, we're going to leave the long out, maybe go for a double. As, especially like white marlin and sailfish, they run in packs, and you can get a double. And it happens around here.
Okay, but I mean that's something you have to, learn through experience too, right? I mean, that's absolutely. I mean, you could read books and listen to Blake, but on any given boat with any given rig on any given day, that may change.
Right, but that is it. Is that all lures work? People say, oh, that one doesn't work. They all work. You just got to pull it over a hungry fish. But I think there's a lot of little things that can increase your odds, and one of those being color selection. And I have a general rule, and that's I say there are three colors of lures. There's darks, brights, and naturals.
Okay,
it's kind of how I phrase it. Put your darks in close. That way, when you have all this prop wash and all this white water, they stand out. And then further back, I tend to have one that's the craziest electric looking color you can go with. Another one that may be, say, all white. And then on my further back stuff's going to be purples and silvers or blues and silvers, something that has more of a natural appearance to it. And so a lot of times those fish will come in hot on the close lures. They'll fade back, and then they'll eat that one that's just easy to grab.
And so you're saying more colors and more selection than the blue and white Islander?
you could go out there and pull five blue and white Islanders and probably kick everyone's butt. But, it's not presenting a variety, and so they may come. That might not be blue and white Islander day. But I'd say the reason why I think blue and white Islanders work so well is not only they have that contrast from the blue and the white. It's not that it's blue and white, it's just there's good contrast, but it's also a lazy lure. It has a very gentle swimming motion that's just easy to grab.
So back to what you're
a big ballyhoo.
Back to what you're telling us. All right, well this is good, and this starts a lot of people. Okay, going to buy a few lures and start pulling them and start refining and building their tackle box. And speaking,
you go into these tackle shops, and especially ones down here towards the beach. Any of them, those guys they'll hand you a couple of tried and trues. They'll dig into someone else's tackle box, so to speak, and put you in the right direction.
That's good because I mean, for a lot of folks this is new. And speaking of which, somebody who is starting to try their hand at this offshore fishing, there's a great resource for information, tournaments, people to fish with, learn from, and that's Mobile Big Game Fishing Club.
Right, if you're just getting into this, even just joining the club for the sake of coming to the tournament parties and the, we have membership meetings each year, several of those with food and guest speakers who can actually bring up that learning curve, and then you get to hang out with other like-minded anglers and learn from them as well.
So tell folks if they want to get signed up, I mean, they can get signed up for tournaments, or like you said, just get signed up to be a member and come out to the events. How do they do that?
Sean, they can go to mbgfc.org or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thembgfc. And don't forget, we have our makeup for Memorial Day tournament. It's coming up on June 20th, 29th. We're partying with the Pensacola International Tournament. So sign up at their, you're going to sign up for that one at their website, but then you can leave it. You can check out at our facility or theirs at Pritchard Yacht Club. I'm sorry, Pensacola Yacht Club. And you can weigh in either location.
All right. So details online. That's coming up. Blake, as always, I appreciate it. And it gives me a reason to go out and buy some more tackle. I like that. I'm just going to say, honey, it was Blake's suggestion that I go out and get some more lures.
I'll take the fall for you.
Good.
No problem.
Good. I need it. Thank you. Offshore Fishing Report brought to you by HMS Marine Electronics for all your fishing technology by major brands like Garmin. You'll be supporting a local online retailer that offers all the price savings and perks of the big box stores and more in the industry since 2004, in the business since 2013. Garmin and NEMA certified. Visit HMSMarineElectronics.com or on Facebook, HMS Marine Electronics, featuring Garmin ultra high definition scanning sonar with stunningly clear images, side view, and clear view clarity means the fish have nowhere to hide. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you here. Big thanks to Blake with Mobile Big Game Fishing Club and the Offshore Report. Also, big thank you to the gang at Buffalo Rock.
Yes, sir.
Bringing you the most times they say, actually, the stuff they write for us that comes from corporate says Mountain Dew and Diet Mountain Dew. Around here, we don't care. We say Diet Mountain Dew. And Mountain Dew, right? We flip them around because this is
what are we drinking this morning, Sean?
Diet Mountain Dew. That's
Diet
what I'm saying.
Mountain
but
Dew.
Like the stuff they send us from the, it's the stuff not Joey and them send, but the stuff that comes from corporate says Mountain Dew and Diet Mountain Dew. Around here, we may get ourselves in trouble because you know sometimes big companies tell you you got to say a commercial a certain way.
Right.
Right now we're throwing caution in the wind. Diet Mountain Dew and Mountain Dew.
That's now we talk.
See what I'm saying? You follow me?
Us fat boys got to have
that's
diet.
Right. That's how we keep it so slim. big thanks to them. And I want to check in with our buddy, Captain Charlie Gray of Gray Gulf Charters, who this last weekend, I think he had, did he have any diet drinks on the boat? I brought diet drinks on the boat. Did you have diet drinks on the boat?
There were some diets and some heavies. There were. And it worked out just the same. We stayed hydrated, and we caught fish, and the fish were hydrated. The fish were wet. We were wet. Everything worked out well.
Right. Everybody was hydrated, the fish and the people. You know, we did what I consider a classic Dolphin Island trip last weekend with Captain Charlie Gray. It was a speckled trout, snapper, inshore and light offshore kind of trip. That's one of those great things about Dolphin Island.
Yep.
We did. We had a good time. Took our friend Wesley Blackshear with us, too, and got him off there for a little while away from the house and got him on some fish, too, and had a good time. We sure did.
So what'd y'all catch?
We caught trout. We caught, what,
Red
southern
fish?
Kingfish or kingfish?
Oh, yeah, I'd forgotten about it. Yeah, great. Like, I'm talking about a stud wintertime ground mullet. This is what's sad. This is when yeah, it was. This is when you've been spoiled by good speckled trout and snapper fishing. When you start focusing on the, where I'm bragging about, we got great trout and great snapper. But I was like the whole time, I said, man, that dang ground mullet you had was fine.
Yeah.
I kept saying, if I catch a big white trout, he's going to fall overboard. I'm going to have to put the ladder out.
Right. Yeah, you can't separate, a west sider from his fish. Yeah, I get excited about white trout
good
and ground mullet.
So that was a trippy ground mullet for June, middle of June,
mm-hmm.
And then we bumped on offshore and stayed within our 9 mile range there pretty much, and caught some nice snapper. Tried a couple spots that were a little slow, small fish, which is good. Got good small fish growing up, and then we hit the mother load hole and didn't even hardly get to it. They were so far off the numbers, they were hungry.
Yeah,
really.
We were feeding them off the back of the boat. Just like
come to the top of the water.
Yeah,
John had him chummed up to the back of the boat. He was sight casting again.
Yeah, which is a fun way to do it. It's fun to see those snapper up top. But yeah, I want to kind of back up here and talk about what we're doing trout wise this time of year, because we're going to have some different challenges obviously today and tomorrow with this big southwest wind. But we found fish shallow, and it's been darn hot. And I, if you had to ask somebody, where the fish, they would probably say, oh, they're going to be in 8 feet of water or deeper right now. But that, and I agree that they're there, right, Captain? But
yeah,
but they're also in 2 feet.
Thing, we were talking about this. People go by these bay boats and spend all this money on equipment and boats, and these fish were sitting on top of the beach. I mean, they were literally.
You walk down there and catch them.
That's what Charlie said. He said, we do all this stuff and get in these boats and do all this, and here we are fishing back towards where we could be standing on the beach catching them.
We were. You're closer to the fish on the beach than you are on the sandbox.
<That's right. Yeah. laughs> But it's true.
Too far out, you get into the trash fish, so you got to be right where they are at the time. And they were going up and down the beach, moving in schools, and we would just kind of move with them and find them and sit still and power pole down and sit there for a minute and catch a few, and then they'd move on and catch a few skipjacks, ladyfish, and we'd catfish, Sean.
Oh yeah.
We'd move down a little farther, and finally when the sun got high up in the air, in the morning it got too warm and they moved on.
So y'all fishing on the outside of the beach, on the south side.
Right.
Okay.
But this would be true, I think, on, you know, I'm thinking about, we're talking about Dauphin Island, but you have folks that are listening to us in South Baldwin County, the same thing's true for, you know, the Fort Morgan Peninsula.
Sure.
Right. Same thing's true, on, you know, north. You can find these spots. And one of the things people will often say, and you just, it's great fishing in Charlie's boat with the power poles, too, because you can do that moving. Those schools are moving. And it keeps you in the action more doing that. But those fish are going to relate to some areas. All areas of the beach aren't created equal. Right, Charlie? I mean, there are some areas that are better than others.
You're right. These fish will stay in these areas till they get run off. You know, either netted out, something happens, scares them off, get a bad weather system comes in and changes, but they will stay in that general area for a couple of weeks, typically.
And that's more to do. I mean, yeah, there's some the overall conditions, but I'm saying at the micro level, the things we looked for when we're fishing, we were looking for certain bottom contour, right? Certain
sure.
where it's deep, where it's shallow. I mean, you talked about the sandbar. We're trying to get to where, you know, Charlie would look for, you know, that break and that deeper trough.
Right.
That's right. That deeper trough between the bars. And of course, the Gulf Shrimpers were out there and they mm-hmm. were, you know, four casts away from us, the second sandbar just outside.
Yeah, they were running close.
Real close, which, you know, dirties that water up a little bit, but that water is cleaned up this week greatly, and the southwest wind's going to mess us up, that's for sure, but they'll be there. They'll be there through rodeo, let's hope.
Yeah, well, and that's what I kind of want to talk about with you, though, breaking it down for people that have heard us talking about, hey, we're fishing beach fish. You know, how you break, you know, first sandbar, second sandbar, those kind of things, but there's not all setups are equal. I mean, there are some places where you could have a first and second sandbar running for a mile, but there's some area of 500 yards in there that's better because of a run-out trough or something. I mean, it pays to drift and find fish, but when you find fish out there, pay attention to why they're there, and then you can recreate that, right?
Yeah, and what we've had before these Gulf Shrimpers moved in, we were able to target them, the birds, and see where the birds are sitting on the beach or flying, but they're spoiled with those Gulf Shrimpers out there because they're full. So they're basically, as you saw, they're just sitting on the beach in lines, just waiting until it's time to go back to the Shrimpers. Where in the past, they've been, you know, diving on the black skimmers coming in and eat the minnows. And we kind of, you know, work through those areas and see where the birds were that helped us out a lot. They're right on these holes, these breaks, too.
Yeah, y'all think about that. This is something, you know, one of the always learning new things, but fishing with Charlie, that, you know, we're all used to focusing on birds that are feeding.
Right.
I mean, everybody's out there fishing. Oh, well, look at the birds. Let's go over there and find those. These birds were not. Charlie said, hey, let's just find where the birds are sitting on the beach. I'm like, why? But that's the last place they fed, right? They're going to go. There's a reason they're going to be at one place on the beach because they're not evenly distributed up and down the beach, just like the fish.
Right.
They're clumped up in an area. The birds are. And Charlie, you said that we're going to stop here. Look at those birds sitting there on the beach. They weren't feeding y'all. They weren't. But sure enough, that's where the fish were.
How about that?
I've been accused of having a bird brain before, and sometimes it pays off.
Well, let me ask you this. A lot of times when you fish on the Gulf Beach, you fish with different bait. You usually use croakers. Is that what y'all were using?
We had croakers and shrimp, and they were both working.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I think
Charles walked over, and I was like, well, here goes the catfish bite. Get ready to turn on, and it did. He caught several trout on shrimp on the bottom.
Yeah. So I was just freelining, you know, just like I was doing the croakers, I was just freelining the shrimp. But, you know, I think you can keep, you know, and I'm a, Lord knows, I'm about the biggest croaker fisherman around. I love to croaker fish Dauphin Island. That's one of my favorite things. But I do that a lot of times because it cleans up the bite. Right, that croaker, you're going to have
you're not
less
catching the trash.
Yeah, you're going to. Well, you still listen. Some days out there, the ladyfish will crush your croaker, and the ladyfish will eat it, and the bluefish will show up. But generally, the croaker cleans up the bite. That doesn't mean that you can't catch trout. Those trout are still going to eat a shrimp.
Sure,
we're just using croaker to make our life a little easier for less catfish, ladyfish, XYZ. That does not mean
they won't hit
the trout are not eating shrimp now because I mean it's a shrimp.
Yeah,
they get a chance, they're going to eat it.
Yep.
But you catch one trout and four or five other stuff, and then one more trout, and
right. So that
there's a limited window of opportunity for that shrimp and a trout. And mm-hmm. Sean was doing it right. He got in front of their face, and they were there at the time. But if it stayed more than 3 or 4 minutes, then the legs were eaten off by the little pinfish, and then that was that.
And here comes every other critter in the sea.
And you said something else. You're freelining them. So yeah. You're not using a cork. You're not using a weight.
Although we had – so Wesley that was fishing with us, he was using a cork and he's catching fish.
Okay.
You know, I'll fish, especially if we're like on Charlie's boat where we're drifting. Well, it's fine to not have weight. I'm not trying to – you know, I'm that's moving with the boat.
Right.
And I'm covering ground. And I can get, because the boat's moving and the shrimp's moving, it can drop down to the bottom, or the croaker can drop down to the bottom. If conditions warrant it, yeah. I mean, I use you know, Carolina rig or tight line like that. But if I can freeline them,
yeah,
with some fluorocarbon leader and a kale hook, I don't know what's better than that. Do you?
It's so much easier. You just straight tie that kale hook, that number two, you know, or actually we were smaller. I think we were using fours and sixes, and just, you know, hook that. I like to hook them. Sean may do it a little differently sometimes. I like to hook them at the shoulders in the back, and that way they're continuously swimming down, and that entices these fish more so than not, in my opinion.
Yeah, that there's a debate. So there's a debate. So there's a croaker debate.
You're between, in the nose. Huh?
I am a nose. I hook them in the nose.
Yep.
Not that I have. I mean, if I needed to hook them in the back, but I hook them in the nose because I think they're riding through the water better with it hooked in the nose. But Charlie makes a good point too. You get more struggle sometimes out of a croaker if you hook it in the back. And if you're hooking it under cork, I could absolutely see that, because you get that struggle trying to get to the bottom. We're on a freeline rig. It's a little bit different.
And you got to let them take the bait. Not get in a hurry. You can wait up to 20 seconds, and that's a long time when your line's going out. But if you don't, you're not going to catch that fish. As a matter of fact, I let one run good.
Yeah.
And, he pulled, and Sean looked at me and said, "Wouldn't have lost that fish if you'd hooked him in the nose."
Well, okay, so, and we're going to run the break here, but I want to come back and talk more about this this strategy, how to find them and setting up on them, because I think this is a good subject to deal with, because going forward here, this is one of the prime ways to catch fish shallow. Even though, right now, when we get back from the break, we'll ask Captain Charlie Great, you can go catch them in 17, 18, 20 feet of water, too. So they're kind of everywhere.
Yeah.
All right, coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you here. Remember, check us out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. All kind of good stuff there. Pictures there, just like you can get on the Facebook page for our buddy Captain Charlie Gray of Gray Gulf Charters. Also, that Instagram, you got that popping as well.
Oh, yeah, that's a good thing. Good pictures, keeps everybody happy. Happy.
Yeah, that's we had good things to take pictures of. You know, one of the things we were talking about during the break is redfish tagging, and we got to do some of that too on Saturday. Think about that shallow water fishing we were talking about for trout. Imagine what happens when a bull red hits you in that shallow water on the beach. That was a lot of fun.
That was. You know, we actually hooked a couple of more and had enough of them. And once we got enough line back in on those 4,000 reels, we kind of popped a couple off. We did tag one. That was a big fish. He was 25, 30 pounds easily, and got him back in the water. And off she went with a new tag in her. And if you happen to run up on her, please don't kill her if you can help it, but just report the tag number so we can see what kind of migration pattern these fish are into.
Yeah, so if y'all do see that, I mean, something that people need to be aware of, even if you're not tagging, you catch a fish with a tag, get that number and report it, because, yeah, it helps all of us understand those fish.
And if you can release it, release it.
Yeah,
back.
Those.
Not saying you can't keep it.
No, you can keep keep one, but, I mean, those big bulls are so productive in making baby redfish that they're worth way more than their meat, that's for sure. All right, we talked about beach fishing, talked about snapper fishing, but
let's talk about snapper fishing. Let's talk about this real quick.
Okay.
There are a lot of people now getting tickets because they're not doing the snap check.
Let's go back to that. Yes.
And here's the deal too. A lot of people are putting their boat on the trailer and pulling the boat out of the water. And once you pull your boat out of the water, if you haven't done your snap check, they will give you a ticket. You need to register your fish before you pull your boat out of the water. Before you take any fish out of the boat and put it on the dock, you've got to report your fish.
And I'm looking at I was looking at text messages coming into the station, somebody telling me that they got a ticket for that. Okay, obviously we have not said it enough.
Yes.
So we'll say it again and again and again.
That's right. Because we got to say it every week.
We've talked about it. We've had Scott Bannon talk about it. But you know what? It's our job to do it. Y'all, like Mike said, if there's anything but water under the boat, you're going to get a ticket if you haven't done your snapper check.
Yeah, you
I mean, it's that simple.
You can't pull your boat out of the water and say, well, I'm going to call when I get down here to the gas station or something. You got to register. Go online to Outdoor Alabama, and it's real easy. It only takes maybe, 15, 20 seconds to do it, especially if you've got the registration number of your boat.
Right, so use the app. You can use the app we were using last year, the new Outdoor Alabama app. It's free download, Android or iPhone. What I do at the beginning of the season is I take a picture. Actually, mine still is saved in my app, but I take a picture of my hull number.
Yep.
And so you don't have to try to lean over the side of your boat when you're coming in. Take a picture of it. You can plug that in. Number of anglers, number of fish, released. That died or whatever, and you plug that in, boom, you get your confirmation, you're done. You're done. So, yeah, but you'll have to do that before you pull the boat out of the water.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so, yes, we'll go double down on that.
And I'll tell you something else that I found out that a friend of mine told me. Sean, he got checked by the conservation department. He did everything right. Everything was good. And he was telling him that he was going to go back out and go fishing. Was that okay? He said, yeah. He said, you can go back out and catch another limit, but you got to take different people. You can't take the same people, is what he told him.
Right. Well, yeah, you could have somebody that different anglers can go out. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you can go out and fish for other things, too.
Yeah. But if you want to go back and catch snapper.
The captain can only keep his quota one time.
That's right.
The captain can. But as far as the other people, if he wanted to come back and take his wife and his kids out after he took his buddies out, he can do that. I didn't know that you could go twice. So, I mean, just letting people know.
You just can't keep a limit twice. You can go as many times as you want. You can only keep one limit a day.
No. Different people.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. But he can only catch one.
But he can go all he wants. Yeah. He just can only retain one limit per day.
That's right.
It's real. I mean, it's
him
simple.
Personally, that's exactly right.
Basically, if you've done the snapper check and you came in and you had four anglers and yourself, you had 10 fish, that's in their system. So the next time you come in with four different anglers, you keep 8 fish.
That's right. That's right. It'll make people understand that's what the deal is. You know, it's amazing to me that I still talk to some people, and they don't even know what snap check is, and they snap a fish.
Unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Well,
it's
we'll keep it up. We'll keep reminding folks. We're going to run out of time here, but I do want to talk about, we talked about all the shallow water trout.
Right.
Let's talk about some deep water trout. Rig fishing, how's it been, Captain Charlie?
They're doing well, man. A couple of trips coming out of the other side of the bay, and the guys are going, staying close by over there and catching nice fish in 12 to 15, 18 feet of water, even up to that 24 foot on that rig. Closest there to the ferry boat launch, the 24 foot rig, we call it, because that's how deep it is.
Yeah, so that, so they're not only are they in 2 feet of water, they're in 20 something feet of water.
They're all over the place right now. Any of your inshore structure, any kind of structure, your CCA reefs, your up the bay MRD reefs, anything that's in that general area, it's holding fish right now. Live shrimp's your best bet on those right there.
Very good. All right, somebody wants to get a trip booked with you. How do they do it?
I'm at Charlie at greatgulfcharters.com, www.greatgulfcharters.com, or the best way, just call me, 251-379-5067. Let's go.
There you go. All right, and I'll see you later on. Heading down to catch up with Captain Charlie Gray. You ought to as well. All right, we're out of here. Prep Sports Report on the way next. Y'all have a great one.